like that.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Sunday night, late night radio. What fun.
Well, that way,
yeah. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Up this morning, looking for my shoes. Look behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
That little cat yelling at me at the beginning before we even started the show. So
yep,
I was feeding
cat.
Kitty. Yeah. And Char Char was like, "What? What the hell, man? You're going to feed him, but you're not going to feed me?" So Char Char was
amazing
like,
how much,
yeah, yeah. So,
isn't it amazing how much
sorry,
meow sounds like meow?
Meow.
Sounds like
meow.
Now.
It did
yeah,
sound
cat,
like now.
Pokey, it does. It's like
and
not
now,
meow. It's now.
Now.
Yeah.
Where are you? Don't you see me? So, I'm sorry. I was... So, let's get on with the show. Corey Davis is our guest tonight. He will be here. He's going to be a little late. He's doing a meet and greet, you know, how these little celebrities are doing. You know, people want to meet him. They want to ask questions. Corey will be here tonight, without a doubt. He talked to me. He's going to be just a little late. but he's definitely going to be here. Tom, how are you, my friend?
Oh, pretty good, you know. Getting ready to kick off convention and whatever season I got, you know. Convention and promote the book season. I was just at the Milford Spring Book Festival yesterday. Didn't sell a lot, but made contacts and friends and, you know, traded a few books for each other's. And it's funny because the one that everybody seemed to want was the In Rod We Trust. You know, so that's
flattering.
Nice. You know, yeah, that's one I had the most trades for.
And
sales
and
for.
And you've
so,
got another book that's coming out. That just came out.
In Rod We Trust some more. That was a great Easter present. So thanks, Nick. And I met another author book thing up in Cadillac, Michigan. This is coming Saturday. So, you know, I do pretty well in northern Michigan. So hopefully, you know, I can push more books up that way and more
That's
opportunities.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
Nick, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that and Rod We Trust Some More is what the book's called. It's the fourth entry in Tom's In Rod We Trust series, and he's done a lot of books besides that. I mean, just look them up. Go to blackbedsheetbooks.com. Wherever books are sold, just look up, you know, Google search Tom. If you Google search him, on the first page, you're going to see all the information you need because he's also on Google Books. So it's easy to look him up in Rod We Trust series, and this latest one is in Rod We Trust Some More. One of the latest books that I put out, I also recently put out the Canine Collection by Laura Schell, which is a great book. Themes, of course, canines, dogs, but it's a horror collection also. And, you know, what I'm currently working on right now, too, is trying to get out Who I Killed at Camp Last Summer by Thomas Kaminsky. He's a brand-new Black Veggie Books author. I think this might be his first book.
That sounds interesting.
It's really cool. It's a lot of fun. Been working on that. And The Violet Furnace by Edward Martin III. Kind of doing both of them almost at the same time. I'm alternating. Well, I want both of those to come out like soon within the next, maybe by next weekend. But also A Single Note of Time by Ellie Nance. Great poetry book. He did Incubus, Succubus, and Mia's Tempest. And I actually reviewed an early version of Incubus, Succubus by L.A. Nance back in the mid-2000s. You could see the interview at downwarden.com if you go under, not interview, review his book at downwarden.com, my own website, where I have a lot of reviews that I got to get back to doing that. I want to review other people's books again. I'm just so busy putting out books at Black Bedsheet, which is perfectly fine with me. But, yeah, but the very latest is indeed Tom's. Yeah, you guys really got to check it out.
I'm flattered and humbled.
Great storyteller.
Thank you. I'm flattered and humbled and enjoy it. I've enjoyed writing all the short stories, but then I kind of realized that I got to get back to my novels soon, too, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know.
I guess we all have to. I should at some point, but I'm going to try my best to come out with two books of my own this year before the year ends. So one is another collection like Red Wet Dirt, and another is I really want to do this, too. I just got to find some time. It'll probably only take a week to actually do. But the first short story in Red Wet Dirt is the Yuletide thing, and I really like that. And people have done some comic versions of some of the books, some of the stories in Red Wet Dirt. like the Father Keeper and the Yuletide thing also. But I got the rights back to the Yuletide thing, and I have an entire comic book based on that. It's all just penciled, no color. But I'm thinking of integrating that with a short story and just coming out with like a 6x9, I don't know, 60-page book that has not just the story but the illustrations and everything in it, too. So I really kind of want to do that. So anyway,
you ever think of doing that? Hey, Nick, you ever think of doing an anthology of holiday stories?
I'm
going to
put
stories?
Myself on mute real quick.
Maybe. The next anthology, though, that's probably the most important thing is the Read Us or Die 2, which is coming out this summer. Might not be called that. It might be a variation of that. But it is a sequel to our Read Us or Die 2013, I think it was, anthology, exclusively from Black Bedsheet Books authors. Mm. And the original was edited by Jason Gaylord. Really cool author as well.
Well, I said in my short stories that you could take a pick from, so, you know.
Yeah.
I'm excited to read
that.
Everybody.
Oh, sure. I might separate it because I've got a lot of people that want to contribute. It might be two separate volumes.
That's all right.
I'm not sure. But that might be it. Hold on. The first one was a really thick book. So I want to make it more affordable, so I might like put
into,
two volumes.
563.
3709.
Hey, guys, I'm still here.
Okay, good.
Yep.
All right.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Call into that number and press 1 to speak to host. Hey, guys, I'm still here. Yeah. All right, you're calling in, Adrian?
Yeah.
All right, Adrian's calling in.
Adrian's another Black Bedsheet Books author, too, with Tales of Hip Hop Horror with Raina Young. Really cool. Really cool guy.
Cool.
Yeah. He's going to call in. So, yeah.
That's one side thing of doing what I do, being a publisher, is it's a really big joy to me to meet all these different kinds of people that write these books. Too. I come from all different parts of the world, and it's really neat. I don't have to actually go out. I sit here and I meet all these people. It's really great. I really wish, though, like just like you, Tom, and everybody else, said this to an author the other day in a Facebook message, but even though everybody is like, they're all abroad, I wish every author was living right around the corner and we could all get together. It's a big world. So one of these days, we're going to have to, have a convention where all of us can
get together. For your Halloween thing.
Yeah.
And for now, I got to kind of take your influence and kind of thinking of going to my favorite watering hole or bar and setting up. Anybody, for the adult trick-or-treaters to come in there and get a book,
Yeah. Yeah.
Until supplies last,
Yeah, Halloween is a good, Halloween basically, candy or not or whatever, it's got a tradition of people giving things to other people. Kind of like Christmas, but not quite. But still, people come up to your door and you give them things. So instead of just candy, why not, literature?
Mm-hmm.
Promote yourself, books, things. Because they really, that's a bigger treat to a lot of them, I've noticed. They go, oh, wow, we get something else besides candy? Wow, it's a book.
You know, candy.
It's signed by the author.
Yeah. Me, so I was sharing a table with
Adrian, your life.
Excuse me, everyone. I'm so sorry for running a little late, but I'm here. Thank you guys for having me tonight with the conversation, but excuse me for being a little late, but please.
Off with his head.
Yes.
Off with his
cool. Hey, everyone. My name is Adrian Scott. I'm artist and cartoonist from the Bay Area. I write hip-hop stories and comic books, and I have my latest book that's in the library that is being inducted into the JFK Library May the 4th. Please come to the event. But, yeah, hi, everybody.
Nice.
What's up, guys?
Welcome, man. Congratulations.
You remember Tom Sawyer. Tom Sawyer was with you the last time you were on.
Yes. Yes. Hi. How you doing, sir?
Welcome
it's
back.
Good to hear from
Pretty
you.
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Welcome. It's good.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, everyone listening, May the 4th at JFK Library in Vallejo, 1 to 3 in the afternoon. They're going to make a big deal about my book being inducted into the library. So, yeah, super excited. You're all invited.
And those of you that have a hard memory, that don't have
that
good
cool.
of a memory, May the 4th is officially the Star Wars Day also. May the 4th be with you.
Yes. It's also, yeah. It's also Free Comic Book Day that day, too. So they're going to make it a big deal. So, yeah. Super excited about this, man. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Adrian,
Welcome
it's nice to talk
man.
To you again.
Yes, yes. Super excited about the tonight's conversation. I'm the artist that, I mean, you know, the artist that does animation and is in the game. I mean, that's super excited. I would love to hear from him.
I talked to him. He's running a little late. He's doing a meet and greet. He was like, can I be 30 minutes late? And I'm like, okay, whatever, Corey, you know.
I understand.
You got fans. He's doing a lot of good things. And one thing that I did tell him about you, Adrian, is you want to talk with him because you want to do this animation nomination.
Yes, I do.
He's really excited to talk to you. And he said, can you please tell him I'm going to be a little late?
Oh, yes. Hey, thank you, guys. Yeah, definitely. I don't mind being a little late, but, yeah, I'm super excited. Super excited.
You should be, man. You should be. That's an accomplishment. Hell, I'm excited
and
for you, man.
That's great.
Thank you.
Tom, you've interviewed Corey also. Corey is like the most down to earth guy ever.
Yeah.
You know, the opportunity to learn from other artists. That's so important.
I think you're going to get a lot out of this. I think you're going to get a lot out of this show. And I'm kind of thinking maybe you should ask a lot more questions. I mean, we're going to ask questions also.
Of course.
I think that you need to pick this guy's brain. He should be here in about 11 minutes. So what do you got going on?
Tell us what's going on, man.
Adrian.
Well, like I said, everyone, May the 4th, my newest book is a hip-hop love-hate novel, and it's going to be inducted into the JFK Library May the 4th, 1 to 3 in the afternoon.
That's pretty awesome.
They're making a big deal about it. Thank you so much. So that, what else do I have? I'm going back to school tomorrow. That's another reason why I'm running around trying to get ready for school. Going back to school tomorrow. This is my 20th year working in the school district. So I'm super excited about this.
Nice.
And thank you. So I'm just trying to, you know, keep a job, keep my head up, you know, and stay positive, get things done. So, yeah, I'm excited about going back to work, excited about my new book. And, like, the event, May 4th, everyone's invited. If you're free, it's a Saturday. Please come hang out.
Yeah.
I'm really happy.
To be with
hopefully
you in spirit only because I do got something that weekend, too. So, but I'll be with you in spirit and cheer you on, man. So,
thank you.
Much success. That's keep it up, man. You're doing good.
Thank you, man. So much hard work.
That's
man.
Actually
but
pretty
thank
badass.
You.
What we do is a lonely endeavor, and it's just it always helps to have encouragement from each other. And, you know, one person's success is, you know, like we all succeed. So it's just kind of.
Wow, thank
hey,
you so much.
You.
Thank you. You know, as artists, you know, it's just hard to persevere and keep at it, you know, when you want it to happen so quick. But
mm-hmm.
the process is good, too, man. You know, you got to enjoy the process.
Yeah, you got to enjoy the ride, too. You're going to have ups and downs, but, man, you just got to, like you said, persevere and stay with it. You know,
yep,
do what
you love.
To, you
have to do that. Thank
yes,
you
indeed.
So much, man.
Persistence is the key.
Yeah.
Because there's,
you know,
there's so
hey,
many that,
yeah.
that, I mean, there's some authors that I published that I publish them, the book comes out, and they don't really do anything. God bless them, though. They've got their lives, and they trust in me to, like, you know. But the best ones are always the ones that have a lot of things going on, and they're out there all the time. And they do this and that, and they really have that the enough resources for them to make appearances and in the whole nine yards. And those people, I guarantee you, go far.
Yeah. So I'm listening to what you're saying. It's stay active, constantly stay active, stay busy creating and moving. Never get stagnant, right?
Mm-hmm. And do,
yeah, exactly.
Help do
that's,
your own
that's,
promotion.
You know what that's called? It's called passion.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
and push your own stuff, even if it's the smallest library show or the biggest one or just little arts and crafts fairs or whatever. You know, don't be afraid to go out there and show your stuff to different audiences and stuff, because you'll find that there's lots of, because I do that too. And, you know, like I said, I've got two author events and book events. I had one last past Saturday. And one this next Saturday. And then I do comic book and pop culture conventions, too. So, you know, and I do arts and crafts fairs and other miscellaneous things, events that I even come up with. Like, just to give you an example, the girl that's a poet I was sharing a table with, she's kind of a friend of the family. Actually, it's my daughter's sister-in-law. And we're doing an authors and alcohol event at my favorite watering hole in November. So, you know, to get, you know, some kind of, you know, thing going. So get some buzz going for all of our different stuff. So if you can think of a small event or something, like Nick does with his books at Halloween, not necessarily give them away, but have something where, you know, a book release party or something, anything that can get buzz and contact local media, I'd recommend it. You know.
Yeah, easy. So, like, there's no event that's too small that you shouldn't be there.
Oh, no.
Be everywhere,
nope.
You know?
So maybe put yourself out there for school kids to teach them, like, hey, this is what I like. You might not be able to do it full time, but to follow your passion, because eventually it'll lead to something. You know, you're kind of a role model and example for other, hey, he's doing this, and he's been doing this for so long. Why don't I, you know, I like doing it. Why not, you know, you might influence some kids.
Yeah, Adrian,
like
you say that you're
a teacher. Or something.
So, you know, you teach, you are a role model for people. I mean, you're doing everything that you can. Oh, that God bless you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'm trying, sir. You know, I'm trying to, you know, I'm just trying to be the best I can be. You know, it's not easy, but you got to get out there, give your all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in a way, Nick touched on something, like where you said you teach. I guess in a way, we're all teachers. We're kind of, when we're out there, we're kind of teaching other younger kids and stuff. You do what you like to do. Don't give up on it just because you're not making money. Do it because you love it. And it'll pay. It'll eventually, you know,
pay off in the long run. It'll pay off in the long run.
Yeah.
Usually, I swear to God, I mean, look at my story, but it doesn't happen overnight.
No.
I mean, it's been known to, on a rare occasion for somebody, but it really, don't expect it to ever happen overnight. It is a long period of time, a long struggle and stuff, and then, you know, before you know it, you'll hit like some kind of something that'll make you, that'll do it for you and get you out there more. And then all the things that you did prior to that, people will pay more attention to because you did this thing, you know? I mean, so it's great to have a body of work and just to keep persevering and building that body of work and getting people to pay attention and to love you for it. Because I guarantee you, Ed, things that I've seen from you, Adrian, and it's not just Tales of Hip Hop Horror, but you are a really great talent. So believe in yourself and keep doing it, because you've got something there. You want to get into animation. You've got like comic stuff. You draw. I can't really. I draw stick figures, and I mean, you've got like so many things going for you with that, and you're a great storyteller. So I mean, you know.
Thank you.
I mean, yes, indeed. So yeah, I believe in you. You've got things to show the world. Keep on going.
Believe in each other
so much, man.
Yeah, same with you, Tom. I mean,
guys,
you know.
I did speak to Corey. Corey's about to call in.
Cool.
Groovy.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah. Hey, Adrian, also a word of advice. Don't ever listen to detractors who say you can't do it or that they're haters or whatever. Ignore them. They're assholes. I mean it. Everybody that told me I couldn't do something, fuck you. Pardon my friends. I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to go do it. Let me show you how you're wrong. You got to be, you know.
You have to really, sometimes.
I don't even be arrogance. There's a difference between arrogance and confidence. Just be confident in yourself
to
say, hey, I don't need to listen to you. I'm going to do it anyways.
Even if, you know, sometimes your own family will, like, almost ignore your dreams, but you got to ignore them also, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that, you know,
hey,
you put a good point on that, Adrian. Hold on.
Wait,
see,
Adrian.
I wanted to make this point for it. Hold on a second. With everything that I do, it's like I look at like a show like American Idol, for example, and they're on a stage, people like, you know, they're singing, and then they go to their back to their hometown, and there's this big parade. Everything. And with me, you know, I moved up to Sacramento from Orange County, California, Anaheim, and I bet you anything there will not be not even probably one person tooting a horn if I showed up there.
Hey,
I mean,
hey,
at a convention maybe, you know, I'll have like people at a table, but there's an element to it where, you know, we don't feel as appreciated as we should, you know.
Yeah.
But the more we do it, the better that gets. Anyway,
hey,
okay, Francie.
Adrian, I do have a comment on Facebook from Lisa Trapp. She said, tell Adrian to contact the small town newspaper and he can do a comic strip. And it weekly, I'm sorry, I got cataracts, so I'm having to go really close.
Hold a minute, man. I'm going to go
do a comic strip in it weekly, and they will put his name out there. Maybe he can get into the Ah, man, my cataracts. Syndicate, that's where all begin. I'm sorry, Lisa. I see your excitement. You can even try write hip hop and big hip hop areas,
ma'am,
for a corner strip.
Ma'am, do you think you could tag me in the post so I could just read it? If you
could
tag me in the post.
Maybe tell everybody where they can find you.
Yes, ma'am. So thank you, listeners, for having me being tuned in tonight, and thank you, everyone, for having me tonight. Once again, my name is Adrian H. Scott. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram, Adrian H. Scott. And once again, May the 4th, I'll be at the JFK Library, 1 to 3, in the JFK Library in Vallejo. And I would love to draw for the newspaper. Please, just put me in the direction. Would love that.
By the way, Corey has just called in. Are you ready? Are we ready?
Yep.
Are we ready for Corey?
Ready.
Are you ready for
ready?
A good time?
Man, I gotta tell you, Adrian. Man, if you're gonna get, I actually got goosebumps because if you're gonna get advice, it's gonna be from this guy. I've known this guy for, oh my gosh, I think 30 years, man. I puked in Magnificent Moolah's front yard, the WWF Women's Championship holder. I got to tell you, you're going to meet one of the most grounded, down-to-earth guys ever. Am I right, Tom?
Yep.
That's so cool. I can't wait to meet him.
All right. Are you ready? Are you ready for the jet boy? Because he's going to come in here like a jet.
Super excited, man.
Here we go. Corey, I got to tell you, though, this was really funny. This guy used to make dog poop out of the lava rocks, and he even put butter. No, we'll talk about that later. All right,
what?
Here we go. Corey, you got to use. Oh man, he used to make dog poop all over the movie theater.
Oh wow, okay.
That's how cool this guy is. All right, here we go. Corey, Rock Bottom, Davis, how you doing? Oh, wait, my computer's running slow. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great.
There
hey,
he is.
What's up, sir? How you doing, bro? Hey.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh,
doing
good.
Guy.
Doing good. Yeah. How have you guys been?
Pretty good. Kick them out, man.
We've been hanging in there, man. We were waiting for you. We're like, hello, where's Rock? No. You did a really cool meet and greet. That's really good, man.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's been like a busy last couple of weeks. So, yeah, I've been all over the place. Been to Austin, had a few things going on down there. And, I got back, just opened up a new studio here, had some workshop classes. So, yeah, it's been back-to-back stuff. So, yeah, pretty busy.
And, you know, it's so funny because you and I, you know, we were, like, hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you and I, we were, like, hanging out. We're, like, buddies and everything. And, dude, you're, like, one of my closest friends ever.
It's been a while. You're right. It's been almost 30 years. That's crazy.
That is crazy, man. We're old.
Oh yeah, we're
but
old.
The thing is,
hey, at least in an age of a Beatles song.
Well,
when I'm 34,
you know,
I'll be doing that this year.
We are here to meet you and learn about you and your history and how to do animation. But can you give us a little brief history of your history? Like, who are you and how did you even get to where you're at, please?
Yeah. I started my journey pretty young. I knew watching like animation and everything at a young age that, you know, I wanted to get in art in some capacity. I just never figured that I would, you know, have the resources or be around animation at all. So the closest thing was comic books. So that I got into the world of comic books, got drawn in to that lifestyle and just kind of started drawing and did a whole bunch of independent books, some of which while I was still in school, I was still in college and everything, and, you know, for a few smaller companies and going into, I'd say maybe over a decade of doing that, I had the privilege of meeting a gentleman by the name of Mike Sofoluke, Nigerian animator over in London, who was actually one of the lead animators on the Gorillaz music videos.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and that was back in the days of MySpace. And been a very good friend of mine, very good, like one of my family. And you know, we've been pretty close for years. And it was through his influence and seeing him do what he does and getting like advice and everything from him is where I kind of got into the realm of animation. So, you know, he's my co-director on, you know, a project that I'm doing now. So yeah. So I've been in the game. You know, I've been in comic books longer than I have animation. So, yeah. So it's, you know, still a learning experience for me to a degree. So,
remember that time
we worked at
Comedy House and the toilet paper, and you drew
Yeah, that was
Akin Sunday. Like right off the top of the bat, they were like, "Yep, yeah, I'm keeping that."
Yep, I drew to give a little. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, you're cool. Yeah,
I was. Yeah, give a little bit of backstory of that was comedian Akintunde did a joke about toilet paper, and while he's doing this joke and he's singing this toilet paper song, I'm drawing him holding a roll of toilet paper, and I think that's how, isn't that how we met? Francie, me and Akintunde met.
That was the first drawing I seen of you, and Akintunde was singing the toilet paper song, and you drew him as toilet paper, and I was like, holy crap, Corey, you did that in less than an hour. And you had toilet paper, and Akintunde was like, oh no, I'm keeping this.
Yeah. And yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday, man.
That's so
cool. Yeah, I heard his
That's
name.
So cool.
Yeah, I heard his name on the radio yesterday, so he's doing something. He's still active in the game and you know, it'd be good to see him. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, he's more religious now. Remember when and
yep.
He had an R-rated show, and now he's, like, G-rated.
Yeah. I think, I didn't know if he was still in the region or not, if he was still in Georgia or wherever he was. But yeah, I just heard his name on the radio, like, yesterday or something. So, he like I said, he's got something going on, and if it's something in the area,
yeah,
you know, I'm planning on going to see him.
Yeah, he's,
so, sir,
he's
you,
still
you,
in the area. There was one night I called him at midnight, and he was like, who the hell is calling me at midnight in South Carolina? I was like, Hey, Akatunde is frozen. He's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. I remember you told me this.
So, you know, I'm sure everyone is probably thinking about this question, if not, but I will ask for all of us, how does someone get started in animation, or how did you get started, and what advice would you give anyone who wants to get into animation?
I would definitely say study your trades. I mean, nowadays it's like a matter of just grabbing some software and watching some YouTube tutorials, but it's a lot more to it than that. The way I started, like I said, I met Mike, and Mike was kind of like my gateway into learning like the steps, getting started with storyboards, character design, basic world building and everything. You know, it's similar to doing comics, but at the same time, you'll find out very quickly that they're two very different beasts. And what I would say to anyone who's trying to get into the business is to find, just use the resources that are at your disposal. Because not everybody can, you know, is fortunate enough to have a mic or a friend that's in the industry. So I would start at the resources that are available. You know, there's ways to find workshops with people that are teaching, you know, animation. I know the schools are starting to open up to teaching animation even more. Just find out in your area where they're teaching animation. And I mean, you know, YouTube is good, like for tutorials and everything as well. I mean, but, you know, it's just a matter of utilizing the resources that are close to you. And I guess the easiest way to find that is, you know, Google is your friend. So I would try and soak up as much knowledge as you can possibly get. I mean, there's reference books, there's websites, there's tutorials, there's places that are probably in your area that teach, you know, classes that, you know, at least get you started and get you on the right path. And, you know, going to, like, conventions that might be in your area that are connected to animation. I know a very good one that a buddy of mine helps run up in Columbus, Ohio, called Cartoon Crossroads. It's a show that's kind of a hybrid animation comic book show. And there's a ton of different types of cartoons, animators and comic artists there. It's usually around October. So if you ever get the opportunity to go there, that's a good place to go. In that same city, they have a place called the Billy Ireland Comic Book Library and Cartoon Museum. That's a great place. That's a huge resource. So if you're in Ohio, if you're in Columbus or on OSU's campus, that's a huge reference for, all things animated. So there's, like I said, there's for the beginner, the person that's starting out, I would say those are just a few resources that you can utilize and just kind of start soaking up as much knowledge as you can starting there. And, you know, I tell people too that are looking to go to school, you know, there's schools you can go to, you know, teachers and everything. Not everybody can afford to go to those schools, you know what I mean? So it's about utilizing whatever resources that are at your disposal. And those are just going to be, you know, you look to kind of break it. Yes.
Let me ask you both, everybody here, Tom Sawyer, everybody, what do you guys think about AI now?
Oh, I'll let you guys go first. Yeah. If that's a question for everybody, then I'd love to hear what everybody else has to say.
I don't know. I'm kind of cautious and kind of, I don't know.
Everybody's
like,
the government's
going to
listen.
I guess guard guarded. I don't want to take anybody's job in a sense or stealing from anybody. Or, you know, if there's copyright infringement, I don't want that.
Right.
You know, I don't want it doing anything to anybody's work. So.
Yeah. I don't like AI either. I'm not a fan of it.
Go ahead.
You know, I think there's too much opportunity for it to go bad.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with it. I'm just kind of like, AI is a tool, and just like any other tool, it's used and it's to be bad for the industry. It's going to, you know, affect how people see art. You know, once you use this tool, your internet has a student relationship with this machine. And it's one thing to, you know, use this technology how to do art. And there's a lot of artists that try to teach it to do art like that particular artist, you know, and then, you know, just to kind of help them along. But then also at the same time, once it falls into those wrong hands, you know, it can, you know, start to take jobs away from people. And I know there's a lot of people that will try to downplay it and say, hey, you know, you're that scared of this machine taking your job, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's just stupid. Like, there's been entire strikes in the industry, in the entertainment industry, based on how the fact that this AI has been taking people's jobs. So it's not paranoid at all. This is something that is a bit. So what we need to do now as far as AI is kind of, you know, put more stipulations and regulations on how it's used, because the sad thing is it's probably not going to go away. It's not going to go away. But as an artist, you really have to protect the property from how this, you know, technology is being used.
I guess I'm guarded and leery of it a little bit, but it's probably going to be here to stay. So let's put some rules on it to where it's not to be used to infringe on anybody's work or copyright or steal ideas or creative license or, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, as long as, you know, like I said, it's going to be around, and I think that, you know, just like you said, it needs to be regulated.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't even think of that. Dude, you guys just hit it deeper than I even thought. Now I got to think about things, because I was listening to a friend and he was like, hey, I got an AI thing. And he was holding on the conversation with it. And I was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll change the subject. Corey.
Yes.
Dude. I'm so proud of you. Like, every time, by the way, my mom gave me a message to give you.
Oh, really?
She's like, yeah, I remember him. I can't call in tonight. I would call in. I will listen tomorrow. And my mom said, tell that little guy. I love him to death.
Yeah. your mom's
you
sweet.
You remember my mom, man. You encountered
yeah.
my mom at least once a time.
Yeah, we met a couple of times. Yeah, like it was, man, that's been like, wow, it's been so long.
Yeah, she wanted me to let you know that she's really proud of you.
Oh, well, tell her I said
because
thank you.
You've achieved a lot, and, you know, You did it, man. South Carolina, what comes out of South Carolina, really?
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole point of it. There's a lot of untapped talent. And, you know, some of the spaces that we're in around here, that talent isn't really put on display, at least not properly. And, you know, we've been in South Carolina for a while, and you know how it was with us. You know, sometimes we're an uncivilized bunch.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, so at least, you know, we can travel abroad to bring some of that back to the U.S. and try to teach them how to, you know,
how
to
submit
themselves.
Like, oh, did they have roads?
Yeah.
Like, dude, do you know where the money is? It's in South Carolina.
Oh, man.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have a favorite animation or comic book, like, property that you're enjoying now? Is there a certain animation or cartoon project that you're enjoying right now?
Yeah, there's a couple. I'm really liking Invincible. I'm a fan of what they're doing with that. Invincible actually was a comic book, and the animation is you know, really true to that book, and I like the animation style that they're using for it. So that's pretty cool. Blue Eyed Samurai is really good. Yeah, there's a few things that I'm enjoying right now. Comic book wise, I like a lot of the old stuff. Some of the new stuff out now is always hit or miss. It's either really good or just kind of, you know, boring, you know, too. Like there's some stuff that's out now. I got some buddies of mine who do a comic book called Bitterroot, and that's really good. That's something that I've been enjoying for a while. And yeah, like a lot of the independent stuff is the stuff that I like. I'm not really big on the mainstream stuff anymore. It's like the same kind of story recycled over and over again, and kind of, I don't know, like with the new stuff, it kind of lost, you know. The mainstream stuff kind of lost its magic a long time ago. So, you're lucky to come across a gem here, you know, every now and then, you know, that's really worth it. I would point a lot of people in the direction of independent books because, I mean, there's a lot of hungry creators that are out there that are creating stories that, you know, haven't really been sold and a little bit more original than, you know, like I said, worth the time, you know, get back into. So, yeah, but like I said, like, right now.
I'm part of the older stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the older stuff is worth that.
Always. Classic.
Yeah,
the classic stuff.
Yeah, I'm a big Chris Claremont fan, so Chris Claremont has always been, like, my go-to guy as far as like comic book story. Chris Claremont wrote the X-Men for like years. So
I want to ask you, have you seen the X-Men cartoon? Have you enjoyed that yet?
Yeah, that's actually one of the animations that I am enjoying right now. I'm really enjoying what they're doing with that continuation. It's very well done. Even the animation to me is very good. It's kind of a throwback to back in the day, but at the same time, it's still it still holds up. Like this animation, the animation team that they're using now, I can't remember. I know they have some of the old voice cast. I think they have some of the old animators as well, if I'm not mistaken. But I love this animation house that they have now, how they're handling everything. So, you know, I love the animation on that. And What If, you know, all that stuff is that going on over at Disney is pretty solid. So, I'm looking forward to seeing how far they go with X-Men 97 because they've been knocking it out of the park so far.
Yes, sir. It's really a dope series.
Yeah, I'm loving what they're doing with it. And that's something that I'm going to be following, you know. So hopefully they keep that same magic going.
So what are you guys working on now? I mean, for, you know, at the moment.
I just opened up the studio, and we are in West Columbia, South Carolina, at 1209 D Avenue in Carolina Science and Designs, in the building with Mitzi Curls, her business. Shout out to Mitzi. We've been working on a ton of stuff. With comic-wise, animation-wise, with the comic books. I've been helping a few of the artists that I've mentored, Gil Carmichael and Logan Jones. They came up with an idea. I told them if they could execute the idea, that I will not only publish it through my imprint, but I will pay for the printing costs, everything. For like the first series that they do, and they've been doing it, and it's a series they got called Strong Style that they've been working on for over a year and a half, and we've been kind of working on that. Comic wise, I have 3 comics out now through my Rockbox Studio imprint that doing continuations of Jet Boy, Shadow Club Karma, and Lions with Evolution. Expecting stuff from that on the comic in front this summer. We're actually working on a 10-minute Jet Boy short now that we're working with some, pretty solid people. We've got a lot of, we have some animators that we're working with that have worked on, some animations we mentioned, Blue Eye Samurai. Some have worked on the Velma spinoff over at HBO Max. So we've got some pretty solid folks involved. We're working with Bill Moore from Nickelodeon. He was the host of Nick Arcade back in the day. Actually helping us guide the project, the animation portion of it. So we've got a few folks working on the Jet Boy animation thing right now that really help this project kind of move forward. After that, we're actually producing some animations for other creators and their properties. I got a friend of mine, Jibba Anderson, who created a comic book that's out now under his imprint, Real Enterprises, and it's called The Horseman, and it's rooted in African folklore. My buddy Stephen Prowse from my A3 Studio days. He has a project called Punk Rock Girl that I'm actually reading the script for now, and that thing is mind-blowing. It is something. And, so we're going to do the animation for him and his property. We're working with one of our clients is a gentleman by the name of Louis Brightraven. He was a former talent for Marvel Comics and a couple of other major comic book companies back in the day, back in the 80s and 90s, and we're working on a project for him and his podcast. We're doing a new intro for him. So yeah, we've got a ton of stuff that's coming along. We got like a music video that we can show. So basically, we're staying busy. And my reason for going to Austin was the original Jet Boyd short that I did about a year or so ago got nominated for the BIPOC Animation Award down in Austin for the convention that they had over at the University of Texas. It's around South by Southwest and everything. So going down there during that time was crazy, and to have the nomination for the BIPOC Animation Festival.
You know what Akintunde is going to do with that toilet paper drawing that you did? Holy crap! Really? He drew that of me.
Yeah, I was hoping. He said he was going to frame it and put it in his office. So I don't know if he did that or not. That was like 20-something years ago.
Oh, I now, man, Corey, I'm so proud of you, man.
Thank you.
I'm happy for you guys, man. That's cool.
Yeah, seriously. Congratulations, bro.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. It's been a lot of work, man. It's been a lot of people.
Oh, no doubt about that.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people that have come through and you know, helped us get to the point where we are now. So, yeah, we're still pushing.
Yep.
I gotta say, man, Corey. Dude, seriously, you're like one of the best friends. And my mom said, yeah, I remember Corey. He got you into some trouble. But we got ourselves in some trouble.
Oh, man, we had fun at that movie theater, man. Like, we had more fun. Like,
remember you made like, that makeshift bar underneath the screen? Like,
oh
Corey.
Man, you know what? I almost forgot about that.
Dude, you made a makeshift bar. You're like, what come? And the movie is going, and you're like turning on the light. You're like, welcome to the bar. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Corey. Oh.
We had several bars in that building. It was funny because
you drag that spool into the theater.
Oh man, I almost forgot about that.
Dude, you drag that spool. Big ass
wooden
spool.
There was one. All right, so to give a little context about this, there was one that was behind the screen in one of the theaters, and yeah, because you know, if people didn't know that, if you go under the actual screens in the movie theater, we worked at the Carmike Windsong on 4th Drive.
Windsong.
Yep, and behind the screens, it was it behind all of them, or was it just a couple?
No, just 4, 5, 10, and 1.
Yeah, so, and to give a little context on that, there's 10 theaters in there, like 10 auditoriums in the theater. Like, if Carmike Windsong 10 means that there's 10 auditoriums in there, so... and there's
that.
Four.
Number five.
Yeah. There were four auditoriums that had rooms behind the screen. So if you go down, And, you know, they have the little curtains that go around, you know, the entire movie screen. But if you go under that curtain, there's a push-in secret door, and it's kind of like a service area with rooms and stuff in there. So when you go in there to, like, clean up the movie theater, yeah, they have, like, those rooms.
Welcome to my bar. Take a shot.
Yeah, so I went in one of those rooms one day and just turned it into an entire bar. So there was like a full service, like there was liquor and everything in there. So for those of us who knew that it was in that room, we could go in there and just drink whenever, like, you know, we're on the clock. And nobody would know unless you knew where the bar was. So... That was just one of them. The other one that you're talking about, where we dragged the spool, it was down the hill behind the theater outside. And you could go down this hill and nobody would see. Like, it was just perfectly made. There was a brick wall that separated a neighborhood from where the theater was. So you had to go down this hill. So if you went down the hill, you know, like if you're standing at the top of the hill, you can't really see down. You know, you'd have to take the steps, you know, a couple steps towards the hill to see down. So what we did was we went down there, and I think it was kind of halfway between where the woods started and where this brick wall began for the neighborhood. And I think we rolled a spool down there. We rolled like a wooden spool down this hill and made like this table. And we were hiding like liquor underneath. And we would just sit down there. And, like, we called it the woodshed. The woodshed, that was the woodshed. That was the original woodshed. We had like four different woodsheds over here. But that we call it the woodshed because that's where we go out back and down this hill just to, you know, drink on the clock.
What did you? You drank
and
on my clock.
And sometimes afterwards. Huh?
You drank on my clock.
Yeah, like you didn't know. You were there.
Yeah, I didn't
know. You can't get in trouble now, Francie. We don't work for the company anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I don't work for them anymore. Damn it.
Yeah, that was...
I was trying to run an honest place of... You know what? Man, I'm gonna give you guys a really cool secret about Corey, how awesome he was at his job. We had the Blair Witch Project. Remember the Blair Witch Project?
Oh, yeah.
And people were trying to pay Corey. I said, Corey, don't let anybody in this theater without a Blair Witch Project. Corey stood by the door and he checked every single ticket. There was little girls that were saying, hey, I'll give you $5 if you let me in. And Corey said, no. Get the heck out of here.
I wasn't
that,
easily bribed. Yeah, I wasn't easily bribed. But when I was.
Even Scary Movie, man, we were totally on cue. You, Jerusha, and me, we would do those little checks with the Sharpie. They tried to pay Corey, and one thing that was really cool is we were listening to, you know, you get messages and they were like, oh, wait, that's Winsongton. They don't let you in. To R-rated movies. And it was because of Corey. Corey,
yep.
I don't know you, Curdy.
Yep. Yeah, it was lots of good times, man. Like, that was probably my favorite job that I ever had. It was just like, it was designed for you to have fun, you know?
I miss those days.
Yeah. It was fun, man. It was totally like an experience. Like, you had to like be there and, you know, experience some of those good times, you know.
We stole a lot of money, but we also saved a lot.
Technically, I can't speak for anybody else.
Dude,
right?
I don't think Carmack Cinema is open right now. I don't think they can. My mom even said that the other day. She's like, "Yeah, you stole so much money." I was like, "Yeah, and we were."
Well, I didn't work around the money much, so I didn't really have to steal any money, but I just had my hustle. I have my ways where I made money. That is for sure.
And that ticket was torn. You're like, okay, go ahead.
Yep.
No, honestly, yeah. We actually were quite honest, actually. Same time.
Yeah. It was just one of those jobs that was just kind of like, yeah, you can either have fun there or you can just let it be another soul-sucking experience and just have it become a job that you just hate, you know? And we just chose not to do that.
We
just chose to have a good time. We worked around a lot of good people.
You freaking fool.
Say what?
I don't know how you got that into the theater. You're like,
what happened?
I've come to the bar.
Oh.
I'm like, what did you do?
Yeah, there was...
A really good friend of mine, and I will never, never hope that this friendship dies.
Yeah, and like, you guys were really good friends as well, and we had like so many good friends that we're still friends with to this day that we had a job. You know, it was like I said, we were surrounded by good people, but, you know, for most of the time, you know, there, you know, a handful here and there that would come in and out that were, you know, yeah, we had some pretty interesting bosses. So yeah.
All right.
But,
when do I get you back on the show?
Whenever. Just let me know.
All right.
Just let me know.
Adrian,
whenever you want me on. Like...
Yes, ma'am. I'm here loud and clear. I'm just listening.
Do you have any more questions for Corey? Because here you go, man.
You know, Corey, I'm listening to what you said as, you know, getting the technology as an independent and just pretty much learning it yourself. But today's animations, and, you know, it seems like it takes a team to do a cartoon together correctly. What do you say about getting the right people together? I mean, that's really challenging in itself, like finding people to work with.
Yeah, because I think it's about finding the communities where animators, you know, kind of come together, you know. Yeah, and I think that's the main thing, and that's why I was saying, like, coming to places like those conventions and going into spaces that animators are, you know, are you know, coming together and just creating a fellowship, you know, through those resources that I mentioned earlier is a good place to start. And I know you're going to come across a lot of people that have done things, you know, that have worked in certain spaces or worked on certain projects. And I think it's just about being honest with them about what it is that you need and what you want to do. And they can point you in the right direction. I think that just, you know, taking that leap of faith and going into those spaces is a great place to start as far as finding, you know, the right people to come into your fold. And like I said, the internet is really, you know, good for that too. If you come across an animation that you like and you come across a company that produces, you know, that animation, doing your homework on who they are, who those animators are is another step too. And just kind of, you know, following their connections. Like, if you come across an animator that you like that is working on a project that you're in, it's real easy to kind of, you know, go look and see if they have an Instagram or see if they have a website or see if they have some type of contact information where you can reach out to them directly and say, you know, hey, I would love to work with you. What is great? You know, it's just a form of networking, you know what I mean? So basically, that's how you meet these people, just network, whether it be online or whether it be in person. Yeah, so that's how you form teams and, you know, create bonds with these artists that, you know, are out here doing their thing every day. So I think the networking aspect of it is how you build that team, is how you meet your people. And it's just a matter of how you can network, you know, just like I said, you can do it online or you can do it in person, whichever one, you know, works for you. Just when you do it in person, you got to know where to go. So just looking up those conventions, looking up spaces where you can find animators is, you know, start with that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I was listening to that too. I don't know much. I remember, Corey, I told you I can't even draw a straight line, and you said, well, congratulations, you can draw.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. Like, that's where you start. If you can get that line, to, you know,
you
on the paper.
You can draw a straight line,
then,
you said, well, congratulations, you can draw.
Right. That's how you start. That's how you start.
Yeah.
You just kind of build from that. You kind of build on that line, more lines. So,
yeah.
You know. So, you got it.
So fun to have on the show.
Yeah. I always have a good time when you have me on.
You got to come back on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They are about to cut us off. They're going to say, you know, goodbye.
Yeah.
So, Corey, I got to get you back on.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk and let's see what the schedules hold for us. And, yeah, let's plan to do it again.
All right. And, Adrian, did you?
Yes, ma'am.
Corey?
Yes, ma'am. Corey, it was nice meeting you. Thank you for having us, for being with us tonight. And with the knowledge, man, so much great knowledge, man. You're hella cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And everybody on the panel tonight, man, everyone, thank you guys for having me tonight. Seriously.
Corey is like most down-to-earth guy you'll ever meet.
I'm thankful for having me on.
Dude, he's like,
hey,
so
Corey, I know you said you should get a program and pretty much animate yourself, but is there any program you could recommend? Like, which program do you cartoon with?
Basically, there's a lot of different ones that you can look at. There's Adobe Animate. There's Toon Boom. There's a list of things that you can do. I do a lot of storyboarding, so that's a lot of my job. So what I do is I just lay everything out for the animators that I work with. And a lot of them use the programs that I just mentioned, but there's a long laundry list of different ones that you can use that, you know, it's just a matter of picking which one is more convenient for you. And a lot of it has to do with, like, what your skill level is, you know? So it's just a matter of finding the one that falls in line with where your skill level lies. And
hey, Corey.
You can, yep.
No, keep going.
No. It's cool. Yeah, but no, that's what I was gonna say. Just
where can we find you? Like,
where can you find me online?
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, I have my website, which is rockbottomstudios.com. And that's all C without the K. And if you go on that site, like, you'll find, like, all of my stuff, my social media plugs. It's a hub for everything that I do and where I'm going to be. So you can, you know, find all of my information there.
Nice. Adrian.
Yeah.
Talk to Corey.
Adrian is here.
Talk to Corey. No, I love you, Corey. I see that you're doing this new studio, and I was like, Corey, come on, man, you got to be back on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I'm so
here.
Glad that you're doing shit, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. But yeah,
but
you have your own studio. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's the cool thing. We needed to kind of have a space for, like, the local talent here. Like I said, like, a lot of the animators or people that want to do animation aren't really being utilized here properly. They have to travel abroad. A lot of them can't afford to travel. They can't afford to hit up these fancy schools, so we want to create an alternative for them so they can just come and, you know, learn from, you know, what we can teach them, and just give the ones that have already learned, you know, some space to work. So that's the whole point of having a studio here and producing our own stuff in house, you know, is the plus. So it's a very important space.
Yes, sir.
So, and I don't want us to be cut off at mid-sentence. So, by the way, I forgot to mention this. Don't forget to check out To the Rescue with Tommy Habib. Corey, Tommy Habib was the creator of Cheaters. To the Rescue by Tommy Habib. It is on the CW To the Rescue. Tommy Habib, he's doing a really good job rescuing dogs, putting them in a... I could have gotten to Malibu right now. And anyways, did I ruin it?
Oh, what happened?
All right, good night, everybody. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
All right.
Until next time, take care of yourself and each other.
All right.
What'd you do?
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American.
Hello?
Hello?
Yep.
Hey. Yeah.
Hey, are we still on?
No, the show ended.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Thank
so,
you for calling,
yeah.
Adrian.
Hello, you still there?
Yeah, still here.
Okay. Now, did you, you said the after thing, is that a thing still?
They're about to cut us off in like 3 seconds.
Okay. All right. I will hit you up on Messenger real quick.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. It was until I screwed it up at the end.
Not really. It was like you were at it for an hour and a half. And
yeah.
You did really good.
My fucking face hurts. I guess somebody's going to hit me up on Messenger in 30 minutes. We were number 3 in popular. Man, my head hurts.
Tomorrow is the total eclipse of the sun.
Yeah.
It's going to be dark at like 11 o'clock tomorrow. Total eclipse. It's going to go across the United States.
This smell's not helping me even more with my head. It smells like piss.
Total eclipse of the sun.
Ugh, man, my fucking face hurts. How does your fucking face hurt? Now, Corey, explain to me how he got that spool, that wooden spool.
Yeah.
And to behind the theater. I said, Corey, come on, man. I'm the boss now. And he took the spool out. Well, this is my makeshift part.
Oh, man, my fucking face hurts. Are you going to make it tomorrow? Because I'm going to...
Probably not.
I'm going to sit.
Probably not. Because I don't think they'll find the release papers.
Because of the salt and stuff?
No, because it hurts. Man, this hurts so bad. How does your face hurt?
I don't know.
I don't know, right?
Are you getting it?
I guess we can try to go. I can set the alarm for 8:30. Maybe we should take my book. Take my book.
Yeah, well, you might change your mind, but I'm going to... As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to... Well, I'm going to stay. It's only 9:30. I'll probably stay up until like 11:30 and work on some books, and then I'll still get some good sleep. As long as the cat's like, that's fine.
No.
Lately, Smokey and Morris and Little Miss Kitty. Want to sleep all over me. And I get a little pissed off when I move. And then sometimes Rocky, like, jumps on my back. And he's trying to find a place.
I don't know.
And then...
Do you make it tired?
Huh? Can you make it tighter? You know that song? Can you take me? Got a press of the butt. Got a burn of the mud. Press of the butt.
What is that? 120/93.
Dude, my blood pressure is perfect. Oh? Echo! From Healthline.com. Your blood is responsible for transporting all sorts of materials throughout your body from oxygen.
Echo, stop!
From health.com. If your blood pressure is low, it means that blood is flowing through your blood vessels at a lower pressure than it should be.
Echo, is 120 blood pressure good?
From heart.org. A good blood pressure should be less than 120/80.
Oh,
from
189 to 120. Gee, I wonder what. Oh, because of your health?
No,
that's great. Oh. You put a hex on your blood pressure?
No, put a hex on me. Like,
well, they're not little for nothing. Maybe at the very end.
Yeah, I was.
But that was the very end. You really had a good conversation. You were still there. You didn't pass out.
My head hurt the whole time. Did you hear the 1-8-4-8 to tell me how we got that hole in behind the screen?
Woo-woo.
A funny thing, too, is during your show, after my phone died, I heard jeepers, but it sounded in the garage, sounded close, and all the cats were, like, looking up, and jeepers somehow got onto the top of the garage door.
Oh.
And he was having a hard time getting down. He probably peed all over there. So little. Hamsters and fishes. They give you whatever your wish is. And they're so cute to me. Hamsters and fishes. You may have some good salmon. Or some good tilapia, but don't touch the beautiful fishes, because they belong in the sea. That was a song by Beyonce.
Yeah, my ears are ringing. My head is ringing. Dude, this really hurts.
Hamster on a piano. Hamster on a piano. Hamster on a piano.
I think I might go to bed. Man, my head hurts.